going on, everyone? Thank you so much for joining me again here at Everyone Has a Story. Happy New Year. I know it's been a while since I've put a podcast out. I have decided to put Everyone Has a Story on hiatus for the most part. Doesn't mean I won't have some guests on here and there, but for the most part, I've kind of lent my attention to my Simpleton Review podcast. So if you're interested in checking that podcast out, you can do so at simpletonreview.com. That's simpletonreview.com, or you can find us on YouTube, which is the main focus of the channel, at the Simpleton Review. That is called the Simpleton Review. But for now, this week, I want to bring you a very special episode of Everyone Has a Story. My friend Sean Funder, who has been on the show before, has a podcast out that he is titled Create for No Reason. Create for No Reason is a show about making something for the pure joy of it. Not to be rich or famous or successful. You don't need to post it on social media. You don't have to sell what you make. You don't even need a reason. Give yourself permission to explore your creativity. Give yourself permission to play. It's always worth it. That is exactly what the podcast Create for No Reason is all about, and it is a fantastic podcast. This specific episode features poetic therapy with Flo's LaPierre. I hope I said her name right. I listened to the episode. I think it's Flo's. In this episode, Sean and Kate talk to Flo's LaPierre. She's a writer, she's a storyteller, and a creator of Write to Heal. Flo's turned to poetry while dealing with trauma in her life. She found comfort in writing. She believes that beauty reveals itself through the process of writing. And we should all give ourselves the permission to write, even if we don't think we're any good. Is that not the truth? Oh my goodness. She recently stepped into her power and started hosting writing workshops to help others heal. She's a brilliant writer and an awesome friend and a beautiful human being. I hope you enjoy this very special edition of Everyone Has a Story featuring the podcast Create for No Reason with your hosts, Sean Funder and Kate Fullman.
I mean, I'm trying to think back like when I was six, like what grade are you in when you're six? I mean, honestly,
first grade.
I remember playing with my Barbies and loving Wham. I loved Wham. I loved Never Gonna Dance Again. I would make my Barbies dance together.
George Michael. That's really amazing. I really like that a lot. we did the homework from the last round. Tommy had us take a black and white photo. We posted it in the community. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, you did.
That was a lot of fun. And we did it.
You did something organic, didn't you?
Organic?
Well, like a plant or something, didn't you?
No. I did a Christmas tree that was in Christmas the lobby tree. Of where I
That's
live.
That's right. That's what you did. You did a Christmas tree. That's right. No, I really love that. And some other people posted it as well. And I liked that he pressed, and I did this, he pressed so hard on the try different angles and get light to show up in different ways. Yes. And that was fun. It was a good exercise, and what I needed is to get my brain in that mode.
So if anyone is wondering, what are you guys talking about? You can head over to our Facebook page because we do fun challenges at the end of each episode. We have a fun challenge. Usually we ask the guests to give a challenge. We should maybe ask our guests in advance to come up with a challenge instead of on the spot, but it is really fun on the spot. And then we get to, and we're posting stuff in there all the time just to kind of get our creative juices going. Sean, you're really good about that since you do all your workshops for writers and stuff. So I actually have a couple that I need to do in the group that you posted that I really like. And
yeah, get busy.
So I have homework.
Who do we, we're talking to one of your friends today.
Yes, we're talking to my friend Flo's. And she is an incredible human being. She is a writer. She is a healer. She's just an incredible human being. And when I think about beautiful writing and creativity and the concept of create for no reason, she is one of the first people that I think of because she just does so much out of the pure joy of it. She loves to just play. Like I've seen her, she has published a few books of her beautiful poetry. And the way that she shows up in the world is inspiring because she just does things. Like the other day, I saw on her Instagram, she had shaved her head. I'm like, why did you decide to shave your head? She said, I don't know. And I just decided to shave my head. And so, and it looks so great on her. And she just lives this very magical, in my eyes, like this magical life of like writing and doing and meeting people and expressing herself in all of these creative ways. And she lives out in California now and she's just fun.
Right on. Well, I'm super excited. You're making her sound like a shaman. So that means it's going to be a blast. Let's get her on here. Hey there, welcome to the show. Create for No Reason is a support group for creatives. Creating takes consistency, courage, and heart. Surrounding yourself with others who understand your challenges and won't let you give up is the secret to winning. It's a little like church. It's a place to go when we start doubting, comparing, and overthinking who we are and what we want to do. Create for No Reason is a place to go when our inner critic is a little too loud. Let's get cooking. I had Kate was doing your introduction and gushing about how brilliant you are, and it made it sound like you're a shaman or some kind of a healer. So I'm expecting to get fixed emotionally.
It's already done. You're fixed.
That's it.
Don't even anything.
I'm so excited to be talking to you because I told Sean that the two of you needed to meet and just hang out in general because you are both. I so love both of your writing styles. Very different, but in different. So it's very different, very unique. And I so appreciate your styles in different ways. And I just feel like you guys would have so much fun talking about the creative process and writing and how you come up with stories. And I would just want to be part. I don't even need to be part of the conversation. I just want to be there to like experience everything. So we're so grateful that you came on the show, Flows. Welcome.
Me too. I'm so excited. And she has definitely been telling me for at least, I want to say 5 months that I need to be, you know, I need to meet you. So.
Oh, that's no pressure for either of us, right?
Yeah. Hopefully you guys like each other. Otherwise you'll be like, what is she talking about? Never right. Take a recommendation from her.
Well, one of the things I've been most interested in is I seem to always be trying to turn people into poets, but I don't get to talk to somebody that writes poetry very often. Like once I graduated, as creative writing major way back in the day, and it was poetry and fic. But once that happened, it was rare I would run into anybody that plays with words in that way. I mean, I try to. Kate does. Kate, you know what? I'm sorry I said that. Kate's a poet. And I just acted like she's not. I've read your poetry, Kate. That's all that the definition is, right?
I don't know that I would call it that, but Flo's not only writes poetry, but she even has a few books. You've published a few books that people can get on Amazon. And
yeah. But I would say Kate definitely is a poet. I feel like she is also an incredible prose writer. And she like is somewhere in the hybrid between poetry and like short fiction. Like your stuff is really cool.
Oh, Flo's that like it, that. So Flo's and I used to, we still try. We just don't do it regularly. But during the whole quarantine situation, we were doing a pretty regular weekly get together where we would write together. And well, we were supposed to get together to write together, but we ended up getting together to read each other's work and give feedback. And it's so much fun. I have so much fun doing it. And I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to provide value to this like incredible writer? And so, but it was so much fun. I feel like I loved hearing what you had to say about my work. And I loved that I got to share a perspective that helped you in some way. So it was just like so much fun. I love it.
Oh, I love that.
I feel like everybody needs that in the creative process.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Absolutely.
They do. Flo's, how did you get interested in writing? And specifically poetry, is it something you've done your entire life or is it something you kind of came to later on?
Yeah, survival, honestly. I feel like a lot of poets I know, it's been a means of processing really heavy stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that was the case for me. Like I started writing poetry at 8 years old and I was not only new to the United States, having left Haiti under really terrible political situations. My dad was a great guy, a great politician, but things are quite unstable in mm-hmm. Haiti. Like we're seeing in America right now. Sort of what things look like during many political transitions. So leaving sort of that traumatic situation. Are we still on?
Yeah, we're still on.
I got cut off. Okay.
We're going to keep the ring too. we'll make it poetic in some way.
I'm just going to shut it off. I had no idea I was going to do that. But anyway, so that's sort of why I started writing, processing being new to the U.S., processing having left all of my family, all of my friends behind. And I also went through trauma as a child. So mm-hmm. as I started needing to, like, I don't know, understand what was happening to me at 10, 11 years old, I just turned to the page. And mm-hmm. anytime it came to reading, I went for poets. I went for Nikki Giovanni. I went for Maya Angelou, Langston Hughes. And that really just started my love of poetry. And they were always, you know, short, or they were like narrative or performative. And so mm-hmm. something about it really just captivated me.
Yeah. Well, because, poetry, good poetry, for me, it sticks because it's been whittled down to that essence of the sound, the rhythm. It's that cross between, I don't know, good writing, good prose can also be musical in a sense that when you read it, you can feel the rhythm and it pulls you forward as it goes. But poetry certainly does that. What do you think it is about poetry that helps? Because I agree with you 100%. I've experienced a lot of similar things. I mean, I didn't grow up in Haiti, but child of trauma, I turned to the page. And that was something that I definitely did early on. But I don't know if I understand it, but what do you think it is about poetry that becomes, that helps us transmute or helps people understand or digest or wrestle with some of those difficult subjects?
Mm. I think for me is it felt more accessible. Like I know a lot of, even I'm thinking of Langston Hughes poems and I'm thinking of some shorter Nikki Giovanni and Maya Angelou poems. They just felt accessible to me as I was learning English. But I also think now having a good grasp of the English language, I still will often turn to poetry for that like heavy emotional connection. I don't know, something about it just really captivates me. And I don't know if it's because it's so descriptive, if it's because the writer has boiled down so much shit into just, you know, a few stanzas. And so it just punches. But I also have a lot of friends who are like, I just don't understand poetry. And I don't get how they can't understand poetry. Because to me, when I read it, it's like, it's a language of the heart. It's a language of emotion. It tells, I mean, it's historical. It's like, it's everything in less than a page. And I just find it incredibly powerful.
So it's so funny when you say that, because I feel like I'm talking to two people who totally get it. You get the writing process, you live it, you breathe it, like you, it's everything. And I am more one of those people that are like, I don't get it or understand. I want to so much more than I do. And so I'm exploring it. But I think a lot of people, like you said, you feel like this, that it's accessible, where I feel like most people don't think it is accessible, right? Like even when we talk about writing and we'll talk about your Write to Heal workshop, but I feel like writing is such a great way to get out all these emotions, but most people don't do it because they feel like it's this monster or thing that they can't, that they don't know how to do. And so I love that you talk about it. Oh, go ahead.
No, I cut you off.
No, I think it's so important to explore, but it for those of us or for people that don't feel like they're creative or don't feel like they're writers, like how do you even start, or how do you even know Sean and I have talked about this. How do you even know what poems to look at? Or when I read a poem, Sean describes the poem and it means certain things to him. And I'm thinking, how did you get that from the poem? I want to explain a poem that beautifully.
Yeah. I think that's a great question. Honestly, I think academia sometimes makes poetry inaccessible. That's like my biggest criticism. So I started at poetry just writing feelings, trying to imitate, you know, some people I admired. And that was my introduction to poetry. Had my introduction been in college or in high school where it was being taught to me as, I mean, I'm trying to even think of all the different types of rhythmic poetry. Sean might know better than me. I don't have a mathematical brain, or I don't have a strong mathematical brain. And I think poetry can be mathematical. Like once you break it down to rhythms and stresses and all of that stuff, that can make it really scary. And I know for me as a poet, I got to a point where I was like, I want to learn how to write all these different types of poetry. So I toyed around with them in college, but I went back to writing sort of narrative and descriptive poetry because it just felt more fluent for me. And I do think poetry sometimes does feel inaccessible because there are some academic poets out there who, you know, very much look down at those of us who just write viscerally. And I think that's the thing that's scary because it's like, how can you get this thing right? And for me, the way that I answer that question is just to start writing. Like I think about Mary Oliver. She started writing. Yeah. It was for survival, a child of trauma again. And she did what she could. She went out into the woods and the spirit spoke to her and she turned it into these things that were poems. And she was one of the greatest poems like ever, poets ever. And so if people are feeling afraid of poetry, I would just say just write. And then like as you start writing, I think more poetry will sort of reveal itself to you and other writers who write like you do will reveal themselves to you. But if you look at academia first, you're definitely going to get turned off.
Yeah, I got lucky with one teacher with poetry, and it was a teacher that every day we had to read one poem, and he would tell us which poem it was. So it could be Richard Wilbur, it could be Langston Hughes, it could be Mary Oliver, it could be some of like Kerouac's really bad stuff about dreams or whatever. So we would do that, and then we would have to just fill out one page. It was in a notebook, composition notebook. We had to fill out one page that just explains what we see or what we notice. And instead of it being, sometimes there's too much pressure to get it right. And the way that he would explain it is for each person that's there, each of us, it's like we each have our own unique, it's a locked briefcase or a treasure chest or something like that. He says, you're just trying to open that up based off of what you find in the poem. So play with it, look at it, do things with it. And that's probably the one class. Cause before that I would just write whatever I felt, or I would mimic songs. I would even try to do verse length by verse length of a Cyndi Lauper song and just change the words just to put something together. But that definitely changed it to me. And I love that you brought up Mary Oliver. Because of the way that she started, and then she's published. Actually, one of my favorite books about poetry is the, I think it's called the Poetry Handbook. Yeah. It's one of the best books on poetry. And she explained, like she goes over the different styles and the different rhythms and the way to take a look at it. It's really, really, really wonderful.
What's it called? I need to get that book.
Is it the Poet's Handbook or
Poetry Handbook? Yeah, it's either the Poetry or the Poet's Handbook. I have it. It's like a little yellow and white notebook.
I know. I want to go grab it.
It's at my house in California and I'm in Florida, so I can't reach for it. But you're so right. And I think too, that's what's scary about it sometimes is if you take a poetry class, and I think it depends on your teacher and your professor too, and they position it as it's your own interpretation, because the reality is we all view life through a different lens. So how I view a poem is going to be different than how you view it, Kate, versus how Sean views it. And I think if we approach any sort of art or writing with that lens, it's less scary for people because they can relate as a human being and they don't have to pull out a binder and say, well, it's this and this and this and that. And
I know.
My question is, how the heck does that professor know that's what the poet wanted to say? Did they speak to the poet?
Oh, that's like, totally right. I love that. I mean, go ahead, Sean.
No, it's one of those scary academic phrases, but it's one of my favorite ones. Exactly what you're talking about, Flo's, is the intentional fallacy, which is once it's written down, then it doesn't matter what the author intended. Like, I mean, if you're having a discussion with them and you want to find out and you're curious about what it is, but once it's a work of art, once it's a poem, once it's a song, once it's a whatever, it's only the audience member or the person, it's only their interpretation that matters at that point. And I know there's still debate over the meaning, like how meaning, but I really, really love that. I think that going into it with something like that makes it a little bit easier and more accessible for people.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I also love, I forget, Flo's, you said something to me one day when I was playing around with a piece and I felt like I couldn't get it right, but I was kind of done with it, but not. I felt like I was done playing around with it, but it didn't feel like it was finished. And then you said something to me that was so cool, and I would love for you to share it, about the chair in the room.
Oh, wow. I was like, am I going to remember what I said? Yes, my goodness. There's a great poem. I cannot remember the poet or the title of the poem. But she sort of referred to the writing process as rearranging a room, and that you can always go back and change and move things around, but also talked about the room having a life of its own. And I think that's so true. And I think that also speaks to what Sean just said, because it does. It absolutely does. And you don't necessarily have to be present in that room for that life form to continue to exist and to be. But I'll have to find it, Kate, and I'll have to send it. And maybe you can add it in the podcast details or something.
Yes. Oh, yes. And we can add it in our group, just because I thought that was so beautiful how you put it. And it made it so much easier to let go of that piece and let it live. Mm-hmm. And if I wanted to come back to it, I could, but it wasn't necessary. And I also love the idea of thinking about your work when you do put it out into the world, it being for people, because there are certain things that just resonate with some people for whatever reason, and you don't need to know why, and they might never tell you, you may never know. But that's what I think is so fun about the writing process, is looking at what other people put out and what it means to me and how it has inspired me. And so over the past year or two, I have tried, you know, I read a lot of books, and most of them are very business books. And so I have been trying to read a lot more just books on creativity or poetry or things that just kind of expand my mind in that realm instead of the more business realm. And it is inspired me so much in my writing. And it also helps me get a little bit more confident in realizing, oh, this is, everyone feels this same way. And that's what I love so much about writing, is that there's always pieces out there that when you're reading them, you think, oh, I'm not alone. These are all things that people are feeling and doing. And I sometimes wonder, this person who put this work out that I think is so beautiful, they might be thinking, I didn't like it. I wasn't comfortable putting it out, or I thought it could have been better, but it's like one of the most beautiful things that I've ever read. So that's what I love about the process too, is the whole idea that, you know, it's just so meaningful in different ways and at different times. Mm-hmm. So you write, so one of the reasons why I wanted to connect you and Sean is because you have a Write to Heal workshop. Mm-hmm. And Sean does a lot of workshops as well. And I am curious, what inspired you to start this workshop? And I know that you've gotten so much out of it, so I would love to hear what inspired you and what you see happening in the workshop with the people that you work with.
Yeah. So as I said earlier, I've experienced a lot of trauma in my life, everything from sexual trauma to emotional abuse. And as a result, I've done a lot of therapy. I've gone to therapy, and I still go to therapy when I'm able presently in my life. And one of the things that helped me alongside a therapist was writing. So oftentimes I would take anything I'd written, whether it was a poem or just a thought, and we would process that in therapy. And there is such a thing called narrative storytelling and narrative therapy. And a couple of years ago, I thought to myself, I just feel like I'm in such a good place in my life, and like writing and therapy have helped me heal so much. And I was having a conversation with my friend Linda, and she was like, you should host a workshop. Call it Write to Heal. And I was like, oh my gosh. And she's like, just take it, run with it. Like, we don't even have to talk about this again. She's incredible, Linda. And so I took it and I ran with it. But I did nothing with it for 2 years. So I like planned it out in my head. I thought through what it would look like, but I never did it. I don't know what was holding me back. But about 7 months ago, I was part of a collective of women called Carnal Moon. And they were like, Flo's, you have to host a writing workshop. But I've always been too afraid because I'm like, what gives me the right to host a writing workshop, right? Mm. And so with their push, and we were a collective of six at the time, so five other women telling me I need to do this. I was like, fine, I'll do it. They're like, well, we should charge for it. I'm like, no way. Like, we shouldn't charge for it. They're like, no, you need to charge for it. I was like, fine, $10. And so we decide on this thing and I start planning it. And, you know, I invite people, 28 people show up. And my mind is blown. And I do everything from including a grounding 5-minute meditation at the beginning to including writing prompts to talking about the fact that writing can be therapeutic, though it's not therapy. Like, I do all my homework. And I, you know, send out a survey and the feedback just like blows my mind. Like, people were so touched. It was really helpful. And so I hosted, I waited about a month and a half to convince myself again that it would be okay. And I hosted a second one. And again, it was great. I think we had 16 people. And then so I just kept it up. And luckily for me, at the time of the workshop, I was also doing a lot of healing work with imposter syndrome, which is something that comes up for me a lot. And I know it comes up for folks who've experienced trauma as kids, is we're not good enough. Self-worthiness is really hard. But at the time, luckily, where I was on my journey, I realized the workshop doesn't have to look the same every time. It's okay if one time 28 people show up and then six show up and then no one shows up. Like, the thing is, you create the space and you allow what wants to be. And so with that mentality, I just kept hosting more. And the deeper I went within myself and the more I worked on myself, the more I could produce something that helped other people. And so I kept it up and I hosted six all of 2020. And I'm excited to host some more in 2021. And the feedback, again, was excellent. So I'm going to use people's survey responses to help inform the ones that I host in 2021. So all, like, I mean, just phenomenal. Blows my mind.
It's crazy to see how much it affects people, even people who think, oh, no, I'm not a writer. Or, oh, no, I can't do this sort of thing. Or, oh, no. Like, I teach workshops with people that don't, I know they don't want to be there. Like, mine's rough draft recovery. So I go into recovery centers, which is a lot of people that are also in therapy, a lot of abuse, a lot of trauma. And then we work together. And I'm always amazed at the beginning where they say, what's the point of this? And I'll give them a definition of, you know, what we're trying to explore and how we're trying to make different types of connections in our brains and explore our feelings, the way it goes out. But by the end, they are excited that they made these types of connections, or they came up with something they didn't think that they were capable of coming up with. Because it's different than drawing a stick figure where people say, hey, I can't do art, or I can't do something else. I'll say, we're looking for three words to go together. After everything that you write, three words that go together and you think, oh my God, that's beautiful that I was able to say that and I was able to make that happen. But it's wonderful seeing people transform like that. In workshops. Yeah.
And one of the things I mentioned to folks as well is like, the story you tell of yourself matters. So like, say you come into the workshop and you say, I'm not a writer. And at the end of it, you realize you've done 35 minutes of writing. Can you say you're not a, like, you can choose not to write, but you are a writer. Yeah. And like, I talk about the fact that science has been a very, like, I've always said, I don't have a science brain. But all of a sudden, I have like a whole, like, I have an anatomy textbook. I'm like reading up about like the brain. And so like, is it that I don't have a science brain, or have I just been convincing myself that I don't? And once I lifted that belief that I don't have a science brain, I started getting more and more interested in science things. And they're just, it happens. So if I say I'm not a writer, then what my brain believes is I'm not a writer. But if I say I'm a writer and I leave myself open to it, then maybe I can be a writer if I choose to use that gift.
Yeah, that's so meta, because it talks about just we're talking about language and the power of language when it comes to poetry and doing those types of things. But just when saying something, like, you could say, I'm trying not to drink, or I don't drink. You could say, I'm trying to be a writer, or I'm trying to learn how to write, or just say, I'm a writer. That is, yeah, I love that. We did a we did an exercise this week. I can't even cut this out. I want to share it with you because it was one of those things. Every time I talked about people about making the connections that they usually wouldn't make, we would struggle with it sometimes. And this week we did an exercise where they had to describe a happy place or a memory or something that was an, oh my God, that was great sort of thing. I sort of picked that out. But when they would describe it, it was only one word per line and no sentences. So it would have to be something that you see, taste, hear, smell, or can touch, or it could be, the feelings that would go together. And then they would just write those down, one word, one word, one word. And they're just flashes is what I would tell them. And it was wonderful because then afterwards you would guess what they were talking about. I have one, probably the reason I think this came up is because I'm staring at it, that says, elephants, popcorn, grease, dust, tent, red, white, yellow, yelling, benches, poop, 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 beauty, women, men, grandpa, cameras, organ, music, top hat. So it's putting together all these things for a happy place, tigers, bears, clowns, excitement, thrills, dreams, runaway. And then after we did that, I would ask them to pick the words that are right next to each other that actually go together, but you never would have put them together. So for me, I had popcorn grease. I would never say popcorn grease to describe anything. Or I have white yelling benches. And then I see that and we would circle it on the paper and they'd be like, oh my God, I'm a poet. I can't believe it. And I'm like, yeah, you're a poet. That came from you. You wrote that. You're just identifying it and pulling it together. So much fun to see people light up when that happens. Because now they can leave. They can tell people they're not a poet if they want. But I'm like, hey, by the definition of the word, one who writes poetry, you did it. Guess what? Yeah. I love that. What type of exercises do you do when you meet with them? Is it like after you do the instruction and explain some of the benefits and what it is, what do you do with them after that?
Yeah, we normally will start with free writing and then there's usually a prompt. And the prompt could be anything as random as there's a tight belt around my waist and it's cutting, you know, my airway. And I leave little blanks for them to fill in. But all of these prompts are things I meditate on ahead of time. So they just pop up and then I leave spaces for them to add really visual language. And then so they do that. And then everybody shares. So another thing that makes it really powerful is whether it's 26 people or 12 people, everybody is welcome to share. Like I can't force anyone to share, but what it turns out is I think everyone in every single workshop has shared except for one person. So it's really cool to see people being willing to do that. And so as they hear, and they don't do it under my direction, someone will read their prompt. And then if someone else identifies with it, then they'll read theirs. And so as they hear other people's prompts, they'll write down, I think I tell them 3 or 4 words, nothing big, that resonate with them after that person speaks. And then as we close out, we write a collective poem using all of the words they've written.
Oh, that's so awesome.
That is great. Yeah,
but they change. Like all 6 of them have been very, like 6 workshops have been different. The prompts are all different and the exercises are different. But there's always a meditative element. There's always a writing element. There's always a sharing element.
Mm-hmm. I like that it's self-contained too. That's one of the big things with writing. Instead of everybody come here, we'll talk about this. Everybody go home, write something, come back again. Instead, it's the self-contained workshop, the self-contained, writing lab, poetry thing, whatever it is. I think putting that type of constraints on it and having people be able to walk away with making something, anything is really powerful. I love that you do that at the end, the collective, everybody like having the collective poem at the end. That's really cool.
I love that too. It's almost like it's like that you create that community of certain people, like some people that already knew they were writers and some who didn't, and then coming together and like meshing the two together. I think that's so beautiful. And it gives those people that might not have wanted to, well, for you, Sean, some of them don't want to be there, right? So like, so they might not have wanted to write, but then it gives them a whole new perspective of writing. And then to be able to go back and try to come up with their own prompts or try to come up with their own idea of what to write. And that's what I find so exciting about just the writing process for, especially for people that don't consider themselves writers at all, or nor do they really care to be or want to be, but they don't realize how healing it can be for their life or some of the challenges that they're going through, which obviously we're all going through challenges at different phases in our life. And to be able to have writing as a tool that you can take out at any time to deal with whatever it is that you're going through, I think that's so powerful. And to have these kinds of workshops available to people is so important. So I love that work. And it's so inspiring. When you're writing, Flows, you talked a little bit about imposter syndrome. We all have had it. We've talked about it actually on the show. Like, it's just one of those topics that it's easy to, we all relate to it. Mm-hmm. When you find yourself in that state of imposter syndrome, or you sit down to write and you're kind of, things just aren't flowing, do you have any activities, or do you have a process? Do you have something that you do to get yourself out of that state so that you can start to create?
It's a good question. I actually think I rarely experience imposter syndrome when I'm writing for myself. Like, it's when I'm writing for work that I experience it. Like, if I've just pitched a magazine and they're like, yep, you know, we want you to write this thing, then that's when the voice will come up and be like, you know, do you deserve to get paid to do this? Do you deserve to? And then I have to, like, you know, say my affirmations, remind myself that I'm a good writer, remind myself that I'm worthy. Thankfully, it's happening less and less. But I rarely experience that when I write for myself or for creativity's sake. Usually if I write for myself, which actually happens, I would say almost every day, it just kind of comes out. And if I'm editing it, or I'm wanting to, you know, submit it to a magazine or something like that, or wherever, that's when I think I'll sometimes experience imposter syndrome. And when I do, I actually just kind of get up away from the page, and I'll either do some deep breathing, I'll go outside, or I will say some affirmations to myself in the mirror. Now that I started doing the artist way, or I've completed the artist way, I will do pages. Even if it's not, you know, morning time, I'll do morning pages, and I'll just kind of get whatever's in my head and kind of distracting me or making me feel like an imposter. I'll get it out through morning pages.
I love it. It came up again, the it's so similar in the once money's involved or other people are involved, imposter syndrome will turn on. But just the doing something, working, moving, not ruminating on it. I like that. I have a question for you that I'm trying not to ask in a leading way. And so I just keep, and which is horrible to prompt it with that, which is a leading thing to do anyways, in and of itself. I know. Well, no, I'm wondering, it's so hard to ask. I'll do it another way. I tell Kate a lot of times when we talk about art, but especially when we talk about writing, and it does also mean just the act of creating anything, you know, making a dinner, making toast, making your bed, whatever it is. I can get evangelical about the power of that or what it does for people. And maybe, I guess what I'm wondering is you certainly have experienced in some of your classes, and you've experienced it with yourself. What do you think it takes? And maybe it's just one person at a time, but what do you think it takes to expose more people to that? Because it sounds like we're having a church podcast all of a sudden. how do you bring people to God? How do you, like, it's one of those things where I feel so passionate that it helps. It's not a panacea, but it helps solve so many, or not solve them completely, but helps solve so many problems. What do you think we can do, or people can do that realize this or have experienced this to, I guess, influence the world, to get away from just constant social media posts or constant consuming, and get into a space of being able to create or believe that they're creators?
That's a deep question. I mean, I believe writing is spiritual. Like, that's kind of the baseline of where I'm starting from. And I don't know if I believe that 8 years old when I started writing poetry, but I think something about it captured me. And I think that's spiritual. And I also believe in attraction. And so whatever about it attracted me, whether that's something I manifested or something some other force manifested, I don't know. And so I think the way in bringing people to the page is a manner of sharing it and putting it out there. And I think for me, that's been through workshops. That's through open mics. That's through my own writing. I mean, when I saw this stuff yesterday about, you know, terrorists storming the Capitol, and that's what I consider them. I consider them white supremacist terrorists. Mm-hmm. That's the reality. It literally, I got goosebumps. I mean, I saw images of a noose. This is happening in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And the thing that called me was the page. And so I went there. And so in some way, I am part of that quick response culture, because I wrote a poem and I shared it. And for me, that was my way of saying, this is how I'm processing this experience. And this is what I'm doing with the feelings I'm feeling. And my hope is that it connected with other people. And my hope is that maybe they write something themselves. Yeah. And as far as it being a spiritual experience, absolutely. Like, I mean, I'm someone who reads Mary Oliver, and I just did The Artist Way. And,
I know.
And I'm Haitian, and Haitian culture is so spiritual. And much of our storytelling is passed down through things like poetry, and it's got a spiritual rhythm to it. And I mean, so like, I am absolutely, yes. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it's helpful. Well, it's helpful. And one of the things that you said was, the sharing is really important. If you believe in that, like if you believe it's had a transformative effect on you, you're sharing your, experience, you're sharing your strength, with other people. And that's always more effective than, well, if you want to feel better, just sit down and write something, or you should do this, or you should do this other thing. When I know with my children, the more they would see me write, or the more they would see the things that I would write that were explorative, they would do it. I didn't even actually, my youngest, Kate, I don't think I even told you this. My youngest son for Christmas just wrote a series of short little kind of prose, funny prose poetry things, and sent it to me in a Google Doc. And that's what I got for Christmas. Aww. And I was so happy. It was hilarious and brilliant, the stuff that he was writing about. They were like Jack Handy deep thoughts, but he was really he was on top of it. He knew what he was doing, but I never told him, I really want you to do this. And so my daughter's really interested in it. And both of my other boys are really, all three of my other boys are all really interested in it, but it was never forced. It's just example. And not example, like I'm being a good example. It's more example of, I really like to go swing on the swing set. And they're like, I want to swing on the swing set. And you're like, great. Come swing on the swing set. That's a horrible metaphor.
I think one of the things too, is like, part of my workshop, when I close out, I send people a list of resources and like aftercare. If writing is not the way they want to express themselves, I remind them that writing is like, it's a creative avenue, but like you can go dance, and like the thing you said about making your bed, and like whatever you want. Like for me, it's writing, and for me, it's poetry, and I'd rather go there first before I do anything else. But there might be someone that would rather, you know, go dance in front of a mirror first. And that's their way of being expressive, and that's their spiritual connection. And I don't know if y'all have watched Soul, it's on Disney Plus.
I haven't watched it yet. The new Pixar movie.
Everyone is talking about how incredible that movie is.
Right, it's so good. I'm not going to give anything away. And I mean, I'm always like, oh, I'm not getting another subscription. All these conglomerates just want my money. But I had to do it for 1 month because I just heard such good things about it. And I know it's Jamie Foxx, and they do like Black New York City community such justice in the film. And it's an incredible film to watch for that reason of your spiritual connection and finding your spark and your purpose and creativity and like getting in that zone of your higher self. Mm-hmm. And I think you can access that. And I tell people, for me, it's poetry. For me, it's writing. But like, maybe that's not it. And how can you access that? So instead of being like, do it my way, it's like, what works for you?
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh, I love that so much, because that is exactly, yes, people need to figure out what it is that they do that finds that that brings that joy to their life and just fulfills them in a way that other things don't. And so whatever mm-hmm. that is, you just have to find it, know it, and then that's the tool. That's the tool that you can go to whenever you need it. So identifying it is really important. So Flo, is we always ask, well, we started asking our guests share an exercise that is very quick. What did we say? Like less than 5 minutes?
Like 5 minutes or less.
An exercise that we can post in the group that people can do and share that would be fun and creative. Mm. It could something be a writing prompt. It could be
something that opens up that that gateway you're talking yes. about. Like tunes the frequency to the higher self, right? Or even if it's just a little bit. Do you have any kind of an exercise that takes, you know, like 5 minutes that you would recommend?
Yeah, I love that this is catching me off guard. It's great.
I know. I told Sean, I was like, maybe we should probably tell the guests we're going to ask them this, but hey, it's fun.
I love it. It's encouraging. Like, I think for me, it's bringing up what's important in my life right now. And what it's making me think is, take your notebook, sort of like Mary Oliver style. Go out. I like to walk around barefoot. Like I don't want to like encourage doing something that doesn't feel safe for everyone. But when I take my neighborhood walks during midday, I go barefoot. I like to feel the feeling of the grass, the hot, the hot street on my feet. There's a little park nearby with like red dirt. I love going there and just getting my feet all dirty. So I would encourage like getting out in the sun, or you can do it at night if you prefer, and bring your notebook with you. Don't bring a cell phone, and just start really taking notice of things, whether it's color, whether it's the smell, whether it's the sound you hear outside, similar to the exercise Sean talked about earlier, but just kind of take notice and just walk around and take some deep breaths. And if you're doing it bare feet, just kind of feel your feet on the ground, wiggle your toes, whatever you want to do, and just walk. And then find a nice little spot to sit and then just write. And I know you said 5 minutes, but do it for what feels like 5 minutes. Write about what you saw. Write about what that experience of being really mindful as you went on a walk that maybe you've gone on many times before. And is there anything that you hadn't noticed? And just allow yourself to be present and see what you come up with.
I love it. I love that, Flo's. Oh my gosh. It was so Where should we direct people to find more about you? Your website?
Yeah, you can go to my website.
Which is awesome. Let It Flows. Let It Flow.
Is that what it is?
Isn't that the best?
My parents gave me such a great name. It's just like, she's going to be a poet.
Yes, it's perfect. It is perfect.
Letitflows.com. Mm-hmm. Awesome. That is wonderful. Thank you so much for talking to us.
You're welcome.
And I want to talk to you a lot more. We're working on similar things. It's really great.
I could foresee us doing a workshop together. Like I pictured it in my head. I was like, when things are open back up, we're going to do this.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Oh, and then that means Sean has to come to Florida.
Oh, yeah. Or Kate, you'll go out to California and meet us somewhere in the middle. Where are you, Sean?
Oh, yeah. He's in Arizona.
I'm in Arizona. Oh. I'm in Phoenix. Yeah.
So he's out west. You got to
come out west. You have to ride that long airplane.
That was me wishing that Flo's was staying in Florida longer than she is, because she keeps postponing going back. So I'm thinking maybe she'll stay.
I feel like I'm going to be bi-coastal.
You should. That's a good. Yeah. Yes. It's like you're a snowbird, but it's not called a snowbird.
Reverse snowbird.
Reverse. You get both snowbird. Good weather on both sides. Flo's, you're all the right. best. Thank you so much for chatting with us.
You're welcome. Thank you, Kate. It. So nice to meet you, Sean. Your face is so awesome. I feel like I want to like. You have welcoming energy about you. I can feel it from a computer screen.
Right on. That's great. Ditto. Same thing.
Thank you.
Right on. All right, cool. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye, Flo's.
Bye, Kate.
Oh, do you not love her so much?
Yeah, of course I do. I'm sorry. I think we talked an awful lot and you, I don't know if we shut you out or if I there was one point where I could see.
I knew this was going to happen.
I could see your face, and you didn't look sad. But I saw you and I thought, oh no, Sean, you got to shut up now.
What? No, I love listening to you. I really enjoy listening to flows, and I enjoy listening to you talk about writing. And like I said, I wanted to connect you guys. And then I thought, hey, why don't we just have her on the podcast? Because she'll provide lots of value and help people with their creative process.
Yeah, she was amazing. It was really, really great. Well, I think, or I mean, we'll continue to talk about this type of stuff. And I know I keep going back to writing, but I like what she said. Writing happens to be one of my default modes on making that connection, and something that I'll do without any regard or thinking that it's going to lead to anything or money or success or fame or whatever it is. Although, I mean, I would like to publish, but I've got, you know, a million words nobody's ever going to see. And it happens to be one of those outlets or my creative practice. But everybody else has something. They have a creative practice. They have something that they enjoy doing just for the sake of doing it. And something that actually makes something. That could be dancing, because you're making something in that sense. But, you know, just finding that and developing a creative practice that you come back to is just as healthy as meditating, as doing yoga, as grounding your root chakra, whatever it is. It's just as healthy as those types of things. So I love talking to her, and sort of having somebody else reiterate that with me is always inspiring, always really helpful. Create for No Reason Facebook group, easy to find. And it's really easy to get in. Like, we gave, like, we make you answer questions, but
it's easy to get in. So just, you'll see.
It's not like auditioning. Yeah.
Yeah. You do have to answer some questions though, because we have to know what's up. We need to know what's up.
Do you like to make stuff? Do you like to create stuff? Do you care about this?
Do you like to create for no reason?
For no reason.
And of course, as usual, I mean, hey, you know, if you like the show, if you've listened for this all the way through this episode and you haven't yet reviewed or shared it, then we would love for you to do that, because it helps us with the show and it helps us to create this podcast.
Yeah. Share it. Make Tommy Kern famous. It'll aggravate him.
Like, make him famous and call him an artist.
That's right. And talk to him about his selfies.
The famous artist. Tell him you love his selfies. Call him an artist and tell him you love his selfies.
All right, Kay. I'll talk to you later.